Hello, brothers and sisters. It's been a little bit. A few weeks ago, I lost my voice completely, almost. I guess it's something with the weather. How it's hot and cold down here in Louisiana, and I was pretty hoarse. So I wasn't able to post a sermon last week, and I'm helping a church out this week, but I wanted to try to preserve my voice Saturday for Sunday, and then I was just going to post this sermon that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to preach today to whoever is out there that wants to hear it or that needs to hear it. And the scripture reading that we'll be looking at today is Ephesians 6:18. That's Ephesians 6:18. And we're going to talk about prayer. And specifically, prayer in the contents of spiritual warfare. You know, I come across a lot of stories, a lot of true stories dealing with prayer and within the spiritual warfare kind of context. And this particular story I like to share that I came across is about a missionary, and he was in Africa, and he was serving at a small field hospital. About every 2 weeks he had to travel by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies for his hospital. And of course, about halfway through that trip he has to camp overnight. And on one of his trips, while he was in the city, he seen two men fighting. And one got hurt very seriously. He treated him and witnessed to him about Jesus. And then he went on his way back to the hospital, not thinking much about that whole scenario, just kind of giving it to Jesus, you know, as we should. Another 2 weeks rolled around, and he's in the city again getting supplies. And the man that he treated that was seriously injured came up to him and said, "You know, after you treated me, we knew you had money and we knew you had medicine or supplies. And we follow you on your way, and we waited till you put your tent up and you went to sleep, and we're going to come over and kill you." But he said, but when we look, we've seen 26 armed guards at your tent." Missionary looked at him, and he said, "I assure you, I was alone. But man, that man said, no, you were not alone. You had 26 armed men guarding you. It created fear, and we fled." You know, the missionary didn't think too much about it, and some time went by, and he was in the States, and he was at a church, and he was telling about his missionary trip, and the story popped in his head about the two men, and they're coming to kill him. There's 26 armed guards at his tent, and then a man stood up in the crowd and said, "Can you tell me exactly what time when this happened?" You know, the missionary thought a while and he was able to come up with a time. It came back to his mind. And this man said, "At that time I was preparing to play golf. And as I was loading the bags," he said, "I had a strong pull to call the men of the church to pray for you." And he said, "Man, will y'all stand up?" It was 26 men. 26 men stood up. Men stood up. And 26 armed guards was protecting that missionary from getting killed. That's very powerful. Very powerful. Prayer is very important to our life is very powerful to our life, is a direct communication to Jesus. If you guys have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 6:18. You know, so just one scripture, and it's such a powerful scripture. And Paul's telling us here in verse 18, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. If you guys bow with me, we'll have a few moments of prayer here. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity to talk about your word, to preach your word, to teach your word. I pray whoever is out there that needs to hear this, that it just goes into their hearts, Lord. It motivates them. It creates a fire with inside them, Lord. And to recognize if they're not praying like they're supposed to be praying, that prayer is important, and that they need to stop this and start praying more and start giving it to you, Jesus. God, I pray over this message. I pray that the Holy Spirit just guides and directs this message. I pray it goes to whoever who needs to hear it out there. Lord, I pray over this nation in this time of chaos and hate. As we pray, Lord, that you be with our nation, Lord. You bring it back to its biblical roots. That you create men of God that will stand up for the truth and that will proclaim your gospel regardless of how the world looks at that. Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's anybody out there that is just going through things in their life, depression, anxiety, suicide, financial burden, the things in life that can just grip you and rip you to pieces, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they recognize they need to pray. If they're not yours, they need to recognize first that they're a sinner. And they need God, and they need the grace, and they need the mercy, and they need to open their heart truly up to you, Lord, so you can come in and be with them. Heavenly Father, once again, I want to thank you for letting us get through the weekend. And Lord, keep us through this week, Lord, as we progress. That the challenges that we face, that you just guide and direct our path and give us strength when we're hit with a challenge in life. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. We got Paul here. And Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. You see, Paul, he knew a little something about prayer, right? And this wasn't just not your normal, I lay myself to sleep, 30-second to a minute prayer. But this is prayer with supplication. This is laying it all out for Jesus. Humbling yourself, saying, I am a servant. I am your humble servant, and I cannot do nothing without you. And I know with your help, with the Holy Spirit living inside me, the strength, not my own, but yours, regardless what life hits me with, here's my life. Use me, Lord, in a mighty way. This is prayer with supplication. You're praying with your heart. You're opening it out. Paul knew about this. If you go and you look at his life, Paul's life in Acts, you can see he was beaten 3 times with a rod. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was in prison several times. And Ephesians is just one of those letters he wrote while he was in prison. You know, I was reading through all this, and I looked at Acts 16, and this gives an account of Paul and Silas, and one of them imprisonment. And you know, they were out there preaching to the crowds, and the crowds didn't want to hear the truth. And it's kind of like it's today. They don't want to hear it. They want to shut you up. And in that day in the Roman times, they placed Paul and Silas in prison. They placed their feet, or their feet were placed in stocks or chains. But they were stripped, of course, and they were beaten. And then they were thrown in the inner part, the most filthiest part of the prison. Less light, more desolation, more animals, rats, filthy animals that could just pure filth. And they're naked, they're beaten, they're laying there, they're bleeding, they're animals on them. Wow, that's what pain. Long suffering, bleeding on the floor. Possible animals like rats and roaches and fleas. You thought you had a bad day, huh? That's a pretty bad day. I know if I get up in the morning, I hit my toe, or I cannot find my keys, or I spill my coffee on my shirt. You know, I'm already having a bad morning, right? And then I get to the office and the boss man's like, come in my office, tell me I need to improve on this. And then I leave the office and it just keeps piling up. But you know, and that's don't even compare to what Paul and Silas went through. And what amazes me about this account, this historical account, is during the midnight, Paul and Silas, they started praying. And he started singing praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And then there was a great earthquake. It was mighty. It shook the ground, the doors, and the doors opened. The chains fell off. Wow, right. Now this count puts things in perspective, right? Paul gives it to Jesus. And Silas does too. And in their own time, and of course in God's own will, he came through for Paul. And you know, it was the Paul that is Paul that the Holy Spirit working through him to write this to Ephesians and to write it to us today, that prayer works regardless of what you're going through. Regardless of what you're going through. Prayer should be an important part, a daily, and just not like a, oh, I got to do this because the Bible tells me, and you can fake it and your heart won't be in it, and then that prayer ain't going to do nothing. God sees your heart when you pray. He already knows what you're thinking, but he wants to hear from his children. He wants peer communication, just laying it down, recognizing that you're nothing without him. Laying your heart out there. Over and over, persistently, all day long, without ceasing, praying without ceasing. We should have a prayer in our hearts and a song on our lips every day. You see, this life is a battlefield and it gets rough, but we do not let Satan tell you you're alone, that you're doing this by yourself and you don't need Jesus, right? We need Jesus. And prayer is one of the key and probably one of the most important things that you should do every day. But why are we not doing that? It's because of Satan and the demons, the enemy. They've been doing this for a while. They want to interfere with your prayer life. And your fellowship with Jesus. And they're very effective in doing this. And what today I want to look at is spiritual warfare. And how we need to recognize when the devil is doing this to us. Or we're allowing him to do this to us. And to eliminate that. To get that out of the way. So we can open our heart truly to a heart of prayer. And a heart of praise. And the three ways is sin. Satan's disguise and busy. But before we go into these three points, I want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. As a Christian, we need to understand we are in a war. In today's Christian society, our era, the church has lost the meaning of spiritual warfare. When I look at spiritual warfare and I look at it, to me, how I define it is a close examination of individual battles that a believer face every day that clearly encases a war all around us that we cannot see, but we see through physical consequences in this world. This can be seen through the increase of violence in our schools, prayer was taken out of our schools. You'll have people say, oh, well, no, you can still pray. And there's this. No, that is what they're wanting to tell you. Prayer is out of our schools. The Bible is out of our schools. And when that happened, the school system started decaying. And now they're pressing homosexual tendencies, teaching our kids about homosexual and about transgender and about it's okay if you think you are a girl, because this is how you're designed. If you have feelings for another sex, the same sex, that's okay. Do it. It's fine. Jesus wants you to be happy. The world wants you to be happy. It all mixed together. And they're teaching our kids this. And they're placing it in our schools and curriculum and indoctrinating our children. It all begins when they started taking prayer and Bibles and the main focus in your schools, placing in Jesus. And they bring in this evolution, which is garbage. Kim Hill writes a lot of awesome stuff about evolution, about how it's been put in our systems, and about how that science is not really a science because it can be disproved. Actually, creation can be more proved than evolution. But why do they place evolution? Because they want to separate us from God more. And that's what we're seeing in the schools, and that's spiritual warfare, guys. You look at Hollywood and all these movies like Walt Disney. They've been doctoring our children forever about satanic, magical elements. If you really want to look at Walt Disney and look back and look how corrupt they are and how they've been indoctrinating our children, you will get upset. The newest account is a Frozen 2. Witchcraft and satanic symbols. And it's not designed for us adults. That is targeting our children. They want to influence our next generation, as they influenced our other generations. The generation I was part of. I started looking back when I was a kid and the stuff I watched. And my parents, they didn't know no better. But I realized that had an influence on my life. We got to recognize that we are in a spiritual war. And we have to be careful what we let our children watch. Harry Potter. Witchcraft. Designed for our children to indoctrinate. And we wonder why we're losing our kids. Because we want them to. We are loving the world more than we're loving Jesus. You may say, well, you're being too hard. I just want to ask you, clock how much you watch TV in an average day. Then clock how much you actually pray and read your Bible in an average day. And that will give you exactly what's most important in your life. That's just not being mean. That's me being real with you guys. But we need to recognize that we're in a spiritual war. You know, I think of this and I was thinking of the cartoon where you had the little angel and the little devil, or you can look at it as God's on one shoulder and the devil's on the other, Satan's on the other, and they're trying to influence you, pulling you here and there, trying to get you to do something that you're not supposed to do. That's within that cartoon, there's a truth to it. Every day we walk out, we're going to be faced with that challenge, that battle, especially as Christians, to not walk the way the world wants you to walk, but to walk the way that Jesus wants you to walk. that's going to be a battle every day. And we need to recognize this. And we need to get our heads out of the sand. And we need to realize we are in this war. And that we will be faced every day. But we can come to realize and prepare ourselves every day when we walk out the homes. When in the world we can face challenges. But we do have to, we don't have to face them alone. We got Jesus. And he will direct us through prayer. And Paul understood this because he includes prayer as part of the spiritual armor. That as Christians, we have to equip ourselves with every day before we step out that door. Satan knows the power of prayer. He may not understand it, but he understands the power of it. And that's what he does. One thing he does is try to stop it. And the first thing I want to talk is about sin. Our sin nature and recognizing it. As a Christian, we are still sinful. I want to come over here and look at Ephesians 18. I want to bring out a few words here. It says, with all prayer, supplications, in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I guess to understand this better, we have to realize that we have a flesh, that's a sinful nature, and we also have a spirit. And you could say that is a God nature inside us. Our flesh is corrupted, and it doesn't want to do what God has set for us. So we're having this dual struggle. You know, Paul tells us in Galatians 5:16, starting at 16, and I'll just read all the way down to 26. Paul tells us here, being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the words down in the Bible, that is God's word. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revealing such like as which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance, against there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We live in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul says here, we have a struggle. And he lists the flesh, the sin that we will have to, that we can easily as a Christian walk in those. But we can recognize through the word of God that I am not supposed to follow this. You know, if you look at adultery and fornication today, that used to be a dirty word in the church. But you got couples living together without being married and claiming that they are Christians. And they're not affected, and the church is being okay with that. This is walking in the flesh. This is not walking in the Spirit. And we have to take this and we have to realize our life should reflect more of the fruit of the Spirit. That is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Our life, we need to pull more to that. And we only can do that through prayer and giving ourselves over to Jesus and recognizing, Lord, I know there's a dual nature within me. And I know I'm a sinful person. And I lay this down at your feet. And I pray that you give me strength to walk more in the Spirit. Do you pray like that and less in the flesh? Forgive me, I am a sinner. We take that. We take that and that sin that's in our life. And we will have sin in our lives. We're sinful natures. We're fighting that. And when we do have that sin, we must immediately go to the throne room of Jesus and say, forgive me. And really be grieved in your heart to a point where you can't live with yourself. We're lacking that. And you, if you don't do that, sins in your life, your prayers, they're ineffective. You know, I was thinking of this, you know, and I know most people have cell phones. And cell phones are most popular. You see children with cell phones. And, you know, you may be talking to somebody, talking to your boss, your wife, your husband, your child, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You may be having a very important conversation, and out of nowhere you start hearing interference, and the voice is fading, and you're like, oh, I can't hear you, and the other person on the other line says, I can't hear you, and then you lose the call. That's what sin does in our life when we're praying to Jesus and we have unconfessed sin in our life. We don't first say, hey, Lord, here I am. I'm sinful. Forgive me. I'm nothing without you. If you don't think you messed up during the day, and maybe you're better than I messed up every day. I fall short of the glory of God every day. And I lay my heart down and I say, Lord, forgive me. Because I know I'm sinful. I look at myself in the mirror. I don't like what I see. We have to lay that out there. We have to lay it out there. We have to not let devil fool us thinking we are perfect. And that we can do it on our own. And all a little sin, that ain't going to hurt nobody. That hurts God more than you can. Jesus, God sent his son to die for our sins. He bled on that cross because we are sinful and that we can't do it on our own. The blood that was shed, without the blood there would be no remission. There would be no forgiveness of sin. We have to get in our mind. We have to walk more in the Spirit. And by doing that, we lay ourselves out and we recognize we're sinful and we give it to God. And then when we do that, our mind starts getting focused more. We're letting the Holy Spirit operate more. We're not grieving the Holy Spirit more. And our prayers are becoming more powerful. And the devil, he don't like that. He don't want to hear it. But there's power in prayer like that. Amen. That took me a sip of my tea here. I want to try to keep my voice pretty strong. You know, the second thing I want to point out here is 2 Corinthians 11:14. It tells us in this passage, Satan himself, he transformed himself into an angel of light. And Paul's telling us here, and telling the Corinthians, telling us that Satan is a master manipulator. We know Satan is evil, and he wants to destroy us, especially Christians. If he knows you are a child of God, he cannot have your soul. So what he wants to do is take your testimony, take your witness. He wants you to fail. If you're not walking in the Spirit, and you have sin in your life, it's easy for him to manipulate you because you're allowing him to. And you're walking more in the flesh, and you're praying this little flowery prayer, or something happens, and you still have that sin in your life, and you're trying to pray, and you feel like God ain't listening to you. You got to lay it down and recognize you have sin in your life. First, lay that out. Did I do something, Lord? Forgive me. The second thing is, we need to recognize Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. You might be thinking you're hearing something from God, and it's from Satan. It's important when you're getting a specific direction to do something. A pull in a direction to go in, but you're not sure. And the thing is to look at God's word and pray. pray specifically over that direction that you may be pulled to go into. You will need to know beyond a shadow of doubt what God wants you to do, and He will provide that. It's hard to describe it, but you just know that God's hand is in motion. Unfortunately, I see a lot of people that step into the ministry believing that God's will and landing flat on their faces, right? Say if you're praying, right, and you get this urge and you get the strong feeling to go to a neighbor's house as an addict with a history of violence. Before you jump out, run out that door. Or if you get a strong feeling to sell all your goods and give it to the poor and move to Africa to start a ministry, before you jump out that window, focus your prayer more specifically. That just popped in your head. Ask God to provide clear guides and ask for discretion. Discretion is missing in our churches because the enemy might be trying to get you killed or remove you from this life, no longer to be a threat to him and his armies. His demonic forces out there destroy life. God may need you right where you're at because there's somebody close around you that needs to hear the gospel. A neighbor, maybe. Homeless person that is starving. Just to buy him a sandwich and tell him that you love him. Get his name and pray right there and add him to your prayer list and pray over him every night. Hours and hours praying over him. We need to remember Satan's a real enemy. When you look at the scripture, Satan is out there. He is like a roaring lion. He's seeking who he can devour. He's a thief. He wants to rob, steal, and kill you. He's been doing this long time. He's took many people with him. Every time I hear a brother in the ministry that's caught in a scam, a sex scam, or whatever, fraudulent money thing, destroying their ministry, damaging their reputation, may influence the people that were looking up to them. My heart breaks because they have allowed Satan. They have not recognized they're in a spiritual war. They jump off in the ministry thinking, okay, I'm going to make money. The ministry ain't about money. Jesus was the greatest preacher. He was the greatest healer. He was the greatest counselor. But when you look at him, his words, he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, son of man has no place. It ain't about money. And the same sad thing, you're seeing people going into ministry to make money. It ain't about the money. It's gonna get you in trouble. It's about the truth and preaching the truth. You see, Satan is smart. He's intelligent. He's a master manipulator. He's a father of lies. But I want to tell you, our God is powerful than anything that Satan and his army can hit us with. But we can recognize who our enemy is and that he can disguise himself. And we can recognize that we're in a spiritual war and having a daily prayer life with daily studying our Bible and letting the Holy Spirit just guide us through the challenges of our life. When we do this, we can see Satan's hand in motion through powerful prayer life, a supplication which can rebuke him and his actions and send him straight to the depths of hell. Amen. You know, I was the third thing I want to speak about is busy. And I was at one of my friend's store, and we were talking maybe last year, a year ago. We got in a conversation about God, and he said, "Brother, you know the letters and the letters are busy." I said, "Yeah, well, busy. I mean, a lot of people are busy." He said, "This is what the B-U-S-Y." Being under Satan's yoke. You know, I started thinking about that. Yeah. You know this is true. This world has become busy. The church has become busy with the worldly and material things of this world. I know as a kid, I would walk into churches and And there would be people there praying. And I mean, they could have been there all night. I don't know. But you walk in there and you can feel the Holy Spirit. As a kid, that just gripped me. The anointing that you could feel. Do our churches do that today? Do they have all-night prayer sessions? No, they don't. There may be some that out there that do. And brothers and sisters, y'all do, hit me up and send me a invite. And I would enjoy to go one of those. Because I believe in prayer. And I believe it's lacking in our churches. And I believe the devil's infiltrated our churches, and that's why it's not very effective for the cause of Christ. And that's why we're letting people in our churches are wolves, and we're claiming they're Christians, and next thing you know they're falling. It's horrible. This world has lost its first love, and that is to pray and to read their Bible and to put Jesus back into their life. And when you do that, you can recognize these false prophets and these false teachers. And but you see, we got busy. We don't do that because we want a bigger house, a newer car, a boat, you know. And we start working these longer hours. And yeah, if I have to pull another shift and it's on Sunday, that's okay, I'll do it. And guess what? Satan and his demons are right there, and they're working through the cracks to keep pulling you away from Jesus and the fellowship, that the desire and the passion to reach out to people that's all around you. Because you're busy. You're tired now. I've seen it happen too many times. How Satan operates. You know, I had a family, a friend and family, and I was just a kid at the time. And this guy, he was very talented. He preached, he could play the piano, he could play the guitar, and you know, but then, you know, he got the house, and then he got the shop. He was a mechanic. And then, you know, all the trips, and he had to work more, and it less became about God, and you can see how it destroyed his family, ripped them apart. It resulted in him pretty much ending his life. Thank God it didn't affect his salvation, but it just definitely destroyed the things that God had for him to do with all the talents that he gave him. And that's why spiritual warfare is one reason why it's very important. I don't know if you guys ever watched that movie War Room, and it's such an awesome Christian movie. If not, you know, I suggest watching it. It really puts the focus on fighting the fight that Satan places at you through prayer. And just not this 30 minutes to a minute prayer. Prayer that lasts for hours. You see, you have this woman, and she's a younger woman struggling with her marriage, and husband's thinking about cheating on her, and the child, you know, is amidst all this chaos. It's just a mess, right? And this woman, she's a real estate, and she comes across this older woman selling her house, and there she's introducing her to the house and all this. And if you haven't seen, I suggest seeing it. But throughout a series of events, she starts teaching her how to pray, and she starts praying, and the kid starts praying, and things are happening, and you will see results when you start praying like that. Because prayer is powerful. It's one of the most important pieces of the armor that is needed for you to walk in the Spirit and to live a successful Christian life, to become an overcomer regardless of what you're going through. No, it'll be okay because Jesus got this. And when you can put your mind on Jesus, deny yourself, your flesh daily. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It scares Satan and his demons. And when you encounter something in life, he just brings you to your knees, and you got tears in your eyes, and you just give it to Jesus. The devil doesn't know what to do with that type of prayer. He don't understand it. As the missionary in Africa, he was in his tent at night, and the two guys were thinking about killing him, but then they seen the 26 armed guards, which was the 26 men praying for them. As Paul, through his journey in life, he realized spiritual war and all the battles that he faced in his life, from the beating and the shipwrecks and the imprisonment. He understood that prayer, and just not your normal prayer, a prayer that of supplication that was more than 30 seconds or a minute prayer, a prayer that was always on his lips and a song in his heart to endure all the challenges, battles he faced for the cause of Jesus. Now, as I recognize it through my life so far, the importance of recognizing Satan, his enemies, and attacks on my life as I go and preach the gospel to whoever wants to hear it. See, Satan is no joke. He is a real enemy. He wants to devour you. He literally wants to rip you and shred you to pieces. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal everything in your life and leave you empty and hopeless. But he don't have that power unless we give it to him. We do this by walking more in the flesh and less in the spirit. We need to walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And let unconfessed sin in our life to create so much interference until Jesus can't look on us. They're not recognizing that Satan and his demons are manipulating. They are in disguise as angels of light. Don't grab on everything that pulls you. Pull it, step back, and put it in prayer. Pray over everything. Pray without ceasing. You know, I've talked to many people. And when I ask, you know, they make a decision, I said, well, have you prayed on it? And they look at you like, what? That was a pray on everything. Don't let life get you busy. Take time to pray. Take time to read your Bible. You don't have to have those nice houses. You don't have to have those nice cars, those vehicles, those trucks, those boats. Because tomorrow could be your last day. What you gain all that stuff and lose your soul. As I close this out, I want you to realize, or y'all to realize, the enemy's real, he's dangerous, but our God's more powerful than Satan and his armies. This is why Satan and his demons, they try everything in their power to keep you from praying. But we are children of God. We are royal. We are loved. We have power. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are overcomers. But we have to recognize unconfessed sin interferes with our prayers. And that, on top of that, we can't distinguish. Where our discernment on what God wants us to do is clogged, is muddied, and the devil comes in there pretending to be something he's not, and then guiding you directions and paths that you think God is taking you, but the devil has his hand written all over it. And being busy. Not enough time to go to church and fellowship. And I'm not talking about just 1 hour service. I'm talking about the discipleship training, the hour, and then after the night session. And I'm talking about Wednesday night. And now I'm talking about all in between, studying your Bible every night and praying every night. Every morning, every night, in between, a walking prayer. I don't know if you've heard about walking prayer, but walking prayer, I practice this a lot when you're just walking and doing your job, and you put your mind on Jesus, and wherever encounters that you have with somebody, you just place everything in Jesus' hands. You do that, you start walking in the Spirit. When you do that, I promise you, things in your life will change. The direction of your life and challenges that you face in your life will be more unbearable, because you will realize whatever you go through in this life is only temporary. Jesus is eternal. Heaven is forever. The sad thing, hell is too. But heaven's forever and ever and ever. And this life is just temporary. As you guys bow with me, I'll close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, thanking you for the message that you've laid on my heart to speak. Lord, I pray that whoever is out there that needs to hear it, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they open their hearts to you, Lord. That they just start praying for, and they start looking at the scripture. And I pray that they just look at the scripture on prayer. That's all in the Bible. It's intertwined into the Bible. You can preach hours and hours, hours on prayer. That they just start studying about prayer and just understand that the prayer is powerful. It's a direct communication. And let them realize if their life has flesh, their sin in it, that they just lay it at the cross and they ask for forgiveness every day. And I pray, Lord, that they just recognize the enemy's hands in their life, and that if they're busy, that they just step back and they recognize it don't matter about having all those nice things in this life. All that matters is Jesus. I pray, Lord, that throughout the week, whoever's listening to this, you be with them. You guide and direct their steps. Lord, if they don't know you, Lord, just bring them to your word, to study your word, or put somebody in their path that will tell them about Jesus. And if they do, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just keep them, protect them, and guide and direct them into the steps to be the disciple to that light of this world. And we do that through prayer. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.